This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown, coming to you live from Winnipeg, Manitoba at the Canadian Museum for Human Rights. Let's talk tech with Mike Agarbo. Mike is the host of The App Show, which you can find Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on AMI Audio. And just like me, Mike is on a business trip this week. He is in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Business trips aplenty for both of us. You are attending the Amazon ReMars conference. So, Mike, that branding is not particularly clear. What does that mean?
I thought it was about Mars, the planet, but actually it stands for Machine Learning, Automation, Robots, and Space. And this is part of Amazon Web Services. I think most people know Amazon from getting their packages delivered or Amazon Prime Video, but they are huge into the cloud. And this is nerd heaven down here. I mean, they've hired so many like ex-NASA, JPL people, and, you know, generals from Space Force. Like, they're really trying to make a difference here. But, got to see all sorts of cool things. They're doing some cool partnerships with Boston Dynamics. They've got that robotic dog called Spot. And this thing is crazy, crazy weird, but fun. Amazing. It can climb stairs. It can go over obstacles. And it looks basically like a robot dog without a head. It's full of cameras and sensors. On the top of it is where you can put all the payloads. So it can be programmed to do many different things. In this particular case, these particular robot dogs can actually go through factory floors or, down in mining areas and check out machinery and gauges and pipes to make sure everything is working properly.
Wow. Mike, you mentioned that it's a bit of nerd heaven down there. So what are some of your big takeaways in regards to the state of machine learning and artificial intelligence and this robotics that are being shown off?
Well, it's interesting. It's making a big difference when it comes to space exploration as well, and even satellites. Because, cloud computing and edge computing have advanced so far in the past, few years here, they're able to get the machinery, the technology down in size because they can do a lot of the analyzing of the data in the cloud instead of having to take all that computing or computers up into space with it. So they're building in things like Alexa into the next Artemis moon mission. It's really quite amazing stuff. Something that I found interesting too, and we've talked about this before, those Amazon Go stores where you can basically go into the store, grab all your stuff, walk out without having to check out with a cashier. They're able to show me how all that technology works. I'm still trying to find a way to steal some chocolate bars, but they've got the cameras and sensors all over the ceiling. But what I didn't know as well, there are sensors in all the shelves too. So when something comes off the shelf, it actually alerts all the different cameras to something's happening. They have this new Amazon One technology where you can actually scan in your palm to use your palm to get into the store. They're also putting this into Whole Foods stores. So now, once you've scanned in your palm and attached that to your credit card or debit card, again, you can basically walk in the store, do all your shopping, and then pay for it just using the palm of your hand. And it doesn't have to touch the reader either. You can be up a few inches above it.
Mike, I get the impression that an event like this is a little bit more hardcore than, say, something like the Consumer Electronics Show. Who are some of the contemporaries or colleagues that you're meeting down there, and what brings them to an event like this?
It's all their partners like Lockheed Martin and Intel and, all the different defense departments and space exploration companies. Apparently, over the past, 5 years, there's 23 new space agencies around the world. And again, it's because computing power hasn't made it much more attainable and affordable for all these governments and space agencies to actually get things going. So now, if you're a space agency, you don't have to have everything. You don't have to, build the rockets and the payloads and, all the computers. computing technology. You can actually partner with a bunch of different companies that are experts in, you know, their chosen fields. So it brings down, you know, the cost by, you know, 15 to 20 fold.
The event runs all the way until Friday. Are you going to hang around all week?
If my liver makes it, man, it's Vegas. It's tough.
Vegas is indeed tough. I don't know how you guys do business trips down there. I would be a little bit too tempted with some of the distractions, so to speak. Hey, Mike, let's jump back to a Canadian story here. Earlier this month, a Canadian federal court granted the three major broadcasters site-blocking power over internet service providers in the country. Mike, I need you to unpack this a little bit for me. What exact authority has been given to the major broadcasters?
Well, this is Rogers, Bell, and Quebecor. They've got the rights to the NHL, so they want to try to prevent people from watching the hockey games, the Stanley Cup games, illegally through a lot of these websites that are available out there. So they basically were able to get this court order that allowed the blocking of these websites. So they can go to the internet service providers. I mean, they are internet service providers in their own, but they can go to others and basically get these guys, when they identify these websites, to actually block the, you know, the IP address of these sites, so people or their customers can't access them. But I don't know how effective it is. You know, we've talked about this type of thing before. It is really a game of whack-a-mole. I mean, you block one website, they'll pop up somewhere else pretty quickly. But it's a step, I guess.
How might this actually impact consumers or audiences who use some of these illegal streaming services?
Well, it'll make it more difficult for them to get the pirated hockey games. I mean, the one good thing is that it's only the court order is only in effect till the end of the Stanley Cup. Once that's over, they can't block these sites.
It's purely a hockey play.
Yeah, it's funny that they, you know, go after the hockey streaming sites, not the movie or TV sites. They don't care about that so much because they have the rights to the NHL. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Live sports is the one thing keeping these things in the mix. Mike, are there similar policies on the books in other countries that give internet service providers this kind of power?
Yeah, I don't know about all countries, but I know like in the UK, for example, you know, the ISPs have the power to block a lot of these pirate streaming sites. So it is a lot more difficult to find these places to stream, you know, illegal shows and movies. So I think we'll probably see more and more of this in the coming years. I know there's a bill, you know, going through the House of Commons that would kind of block some of these sites. So we'll have to see what happens over the next couple of years. But, you know, it's so easy just to get, you know, like a Netflix subscription now or Amazon Prime Video subscription, you know, for like 10 to 20 bucks a month and just get all this content instead of trying to, you know, find all these crazy websites. So I just don't know how big the problem is anymore compared to, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, certainly the legal approach is going to let a little less viruses and malware onto your computer if you want to do this thing on the up and up. Mike, let's come to one more story here where Tesla is considering Canada for a factory location. So what kind of factory are they looking to build here?
Well, they call them their gigafactories, those giant, giant factories that, you know, make the cars. So when Elon Musk was asked by some of his employees, you know, about expansion, he mused that, you know, one of the next gigafactories could be here in North America and outside of the U.S., so either in Mexico or Canada. You know, both countries already have, you know, large manufacturing sectors and factories already going. So it probably makes sense to go with one of those two countries. And, you know, we're tightly integrated into the supply chain of the auto industry as well. It's interesting, though, Tesla was actually awarded the most American-made car, you know, in the past few weeks here. So compared to all other manufacturers, Teslas, you know, have the most American-made components and parts in them.
So as they are considering Canada, who are the other countries that are in the mix for this possible factory?
I mean, they've already got factories going in other countries, you know, in Germany. Also, Shanghai's got a huge factory as well. So, you know, they are looking at other countries, definitely. But it would be kind of nice to have one in Canada. Some good jobs.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. In terms of the shift towards electric vehicles, absolutely. You see the Canadian government and the Ontario government has already made some partnerships on that front for sure. Mike, is there a timeline on when this decision may be made?
No, he didn't really give any specifics on when that that decision might be made or if it's going to be made at all as well. You know, Elon Musk, anything can happen like tomorrow. Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see. But, I mean, there's just a shortage of electric cars. They have to build more factories. There's no question. Like, you order one today, it's going to take a year to actually get it. The prices are sky high on them as well, just because of the supply and demand too. So, another factory would be welcome.
Mike, I know you're on a business trip and obviously you're working really hard, but what do you do when you get a little bit of downtime in Sin City? I know at this point, like, there's probably not a lot of novelty to Sin City because you go to Vegas fairly often during the course of the year, but what do you do to pass the time to kind of stay away from some of the bad temptation?
Yeah, well, I found this new kind of interactive art installation. It's this giant warehouse called Area 15 that's full of all these virtual reality and augmented reality displays and rides. And they've got this really cool called Mega Mart. Like, you pay $50, and I thought, oh my God, this is a ripoff. Weird grocery store, but there's all these secret passages in it, and it goes into kind of upside down world. It's simply amazing. So if anyone's going to Vegas, they got to check that out.
That's super cool. Hey, Mike, thank you for doing a little bit of a tourism update for us there as well. Have a great trip, safe travels getting home, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot. Have fun in Winnipeg.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.